Chapter 70. Lyria. Thunderbottle. I strain against the rope that ties me to the mess hall table as the blood-crusted hammer hits my pinky. Pain explodes in my head. My stupor shatters into 1,000 pixels. I reel back, gasping for air. The bones busted. The skin's swelling and trickles of blood are leaking around the dent the hammer made. Harmony twirls the hammer and leans back. Several more of her boys prowl around the old grey mess hall. They don't seem to mind Duncan's dead. I could spit the last tooth in her face right now, but it's not just my life I'd be trading. "I'm waiting for your answer, girl," she says. "You got 9 more fingers, 10 toes, 2 tits, 1 cunny, and then we get creative. How'd you kill Duncan?" I do nothing, because I've been prisoner enough times to know doing something gets you hit again. "I hid a flask of acid in my shoe. Your boys didn't check my shoes." "Why not? You tell me. They're your idiots. And you just happened to have acid on you. It's war, ain't it? Fun things floating around. Why'd you kill him?" The woman seems to be expecting me to spout some ideology or whimper about how unfair it is. Harmony's evil creeps along my spine as I meet eyes with her and shrug. Figure she only likes one kind of person. "Don't need a husband." She surprises her men with a laugh. A door creaks and she looks up. "Pick her," she says. "Just the man I wanted to see." He goes rigid, glancing at the other men, at the hammer. "What's what, boss?" "What's what is that upstairs, poor Duncan's guts are melted through." She looks at me with a little smirk. "Marriage ain't for everyone, but when I ask for breeders, it ain't so I can lose fighters, is it, picker?" "No." "No what?" "No, mother. I'll kill her, right, picker? You owe me one breathing fighter, not a dead breeder." She twirls her hammer. "Don't you?" He eyes the hammer and nods. "I got this stomach thing right, this ulcer that just burns all through the night. Hard enough to keep sleep with it gnawing into me. Now I got to try and sleep fearful my men can't even sniff out a gamma." Her eyes flick to me. "So this is it, then." My tongue finds the molar. I can smell a pet rat through water. The stink. She breathes deep. So many old memories. But watch her lie through those rat teeth, boys. Watch her try to slink in with us. She taps the table with her hammer. "What clan are you, lass?" I look her in those eyes, with plans to melt them out of her skull. "My name is Lyria. I am the last gamma of Largolos." "Largolos," Harmony replies, searching for the memory. "Camp 121. It was an easy cleanse. Almost got a Telemannus for the effort. "You killed my family. Their names were..." Before I can finish, she slams the hammer down on my left index finger. I see flashes of white from the sudden pain and hear a scream. But it ain't mine. Harmony looks over my shoulder. I twist my head around. One of her men wobbles in through the open door, half-melted neck and torso leaking blood. He pitches forward onto the other man at the door. The man catches him and then starts to scream, holding up his hand as the acid begins to eat it too. "How many of you are there?" Harmony shouts at me. She slaps me so hard, I lose track of my efforts to open the molar. By the time I collect myself, she's up and out of her chair. I missed my chance. Harmony unbuckles her pistol as she hears more screaming from the township. She tosses her hammer to Picker. "Find out how many others there are. Rest of you, with me." Picker stares at the door as it slams behind them, muffling the distant screams. Then he turns with a hateful look, twisting his face. "You dumb slant," throwing me under to the boss. He gets real close to my ear and runs the hammer over my lips. That's a bad lass. He sits on the edge of the table. Now, I'm not saying I was fond of Duncan. Fact is, this job's got me a little pinned, and he was making some moves, you know. But he taps the table with the hammer. Man's got his orders. He leers in my face. The broken veins of his nose look like Hyperion traffic arteries this close. You weren't exactly a looker before, but if you don't tell me how many girls you got pissing acid, well, not even the dead'd kiss you. I don't want to waste my tooth on him, and I don't have to. Behind Picker, a red girl opens the door and slips through. It is Freckles. One hand rubs at a dark stain on the right side of her dress. She did it then. The other hand is hidden in its right pocket. Her hair is tangled, and her face maintains its dazed expression when she sees what's happening. She draws her right hand out from her pocket to reveal a tarnished pistol. "Shoot him," I say. The colour drains from Picker's face as he turns to see the young woman he collected not a day ago, now holding a gun on him from 5 paces. His hand reaches out. "Careful with that big iron, lass. You could hurt someone." He takes a step forward. "Just set it down right." The pistol shakes in her hand. "Shoot him," I shout. Picker takes another step forward, hesitating when he sees her finger stiffen on the trigger. "Think of all the times Gamma did your blood wrong," he says. "All the time your sibs were sick. How fat they got getting those boxes while you sat with a bowl of sludge. That's a Gamma right there." Freckles blinks as he gestures to me. "Of course she wants to get your hands dirty for her, but you ain't bad blood. Just set..." The gun flashes. It's a small caliber, so his head only seems to lose its regular dimensions when the bullet goes into it. Picker doesn't fall. He seizes, gasping like a driller with rust lung. She shoots him again, this time in the chest. He flops down and lies twitching with his eyes open. "Is he dead?" she asks. "Well, he ain't talking," I say. She shudders in horror. "Freckles. Hey, lass. I never asked. What's your name?"
"Vanna."
"Vanna, I'm Lyria. Do me a kindness and untie me."
"You really a Gamma?"
Vanna says, and the barrel of the gun drifts toward me. I go dead still. "Yeah. Is that a problem?"
"You're not fat enough to be a Gamma."
I laugh. "Of all things." The gun goes off, slamming around into the rope on the table and ricocheting past my ear. I jerk my head away, flooding with adrenaline.
"Sorry,"
Freckles cries. "I thought that would work." She tried to shoot the rope in half. "You crazy? Just use a bloody knife. He's probably got one in his pocket." Picker is still twitching when Freckles searches his pockets and stands back up with a vibro knife. She mutters apologies as she cuts me free. Wincing from the 2 mangled fingers, I pull my hand from the ropes and bolt to my feet. Blood rushes to my head. When I blink the spots away, Freckles stands shivering over Picker. I pull the gun from her loose fingers. She looks over at me as I check the magazine. 12 rounds left. "Where are the other girls?" I ask. She blinks as if coming back to herself.
"Don't know. I saw them take you out the window."
Her hand rubs at the blood on her dress again.
"Came soon as I could. What do we do?"
There's no right answer. Who knows if enough guards drank the swirl in the mines, if the girls hid well enough, if I put enough Hemanthus in there to do the trick, or if Volga could convince the others to help her overpower those guards left standing. What should I do? Even with a pistol, I'm no freelancer. Hell, I'm not even a red hand soldier. I can't help the girls. I need someone built for war. The township is in turmoil as Freckles and I slip out onto the walkway. Up the town's tiered stone levels, melting men are stumbling onto walkways and bridges outside their homes. Their friends, many drunk, run to help them, but then push them back in fear that the acid will spread to them. The acid eats through a cable of a bridge and sends six men spiralling through the air to land five levels down on the mine floor. One splits his head open on a table. Several others lie calling for help, unable to move. Drunk men rush to help them. Several child wives I know are running up the levels toward the mine's entrance. Red Hand men run to cut them off. I see Lion leading a couple of girls into a tunnel several levels up. Is she carrying a pistol? Harmony's two levels above, shoving a man without a face off her and charging into a home. There's gunshots from inside. Knowing that a girl just died because of me would have once put me on my heels, but all it does now is make me focus on the can, the fortress the Greys would have used as barracks back when the mine was operating. Its metal walls squat over the mine, and it's connected to the township by cable ladders hammered into the stone four levels up. Freckles and I rush to the ladder and begin to climb. We abandon it on the next level as we see men coming down. I hiss at Freckles to follow me into a house as a man leaves it. His wife stumbles back from the door, clutching a newborn as we shove in. I make a quiet motion, and she doesn't scream when she sees my pistol. In fact, her whole face changes. We've got to get to the next level, I say. She leads us to the second floor of the home and gestures out the window to a cable. Connects with the one above. She glances at my two mangled fingers. Can you climb it? We'll find out. What are you doing? She asks. You should probably stay inside, I reply before swinging out. It isn't easy, but tucking the pistol into my pocket, I scale the cable hand over hand. Angus would smile to see all that exploring wasn't in vain. Freckles manages to follow me, a bit slower, until she starts using her legs to push off the wall. Psst, a voice whispers as Freckles crawls up to the sixth level. I turn to see Lion's dark face staring out from a tunnel between two houses.
Is it safe?
A dozen other girls peer out from behind her. Not yet, I say. Wait here, and we'll tell you when to come. Freckles and I use a stone stairwell to make the seventh level. From there, we cross the cable bridge to the can. I pull Freckles behind some crates as the door bursts open and a dozen men pour out past the crate and over the skybridge to help their fellows below. Seems most of the boys were drawn below by the screams. How do I know that? They're moving down different stairwells than I am, on opposite sides of the can. I lean to get a view off the edge and see them going across different sky bridges. How did I know they were there? Or that the men were coming through the door? Or that Freckles is just off my right hip? It's not sight or sound. It's just a sense. A low-frequency humming in my head, a sort of texture of movement. The parasite. Not broken completely after all. I don't know what it's doing, but I like it. The door to the can is little more than a sheet of plastic. It covers a hole that must have welded into the can to give it access from the sky bridges. It leads to a dark hall stocked with Republic rations. We pass storerooms filled with boxed electronics, foodstuffs, stolen fur jackets, and helium-3 canisters. Finally, near a stairwell, I see the level signifier. Level 7. We're three floors down from where Duncan claimed Victra is being kept. About to rush up the stairs, I push Freckles into a room and close the door at the feeling of soldiers coming up. We wait with our backs pressed against the wall as their boots clatter the metal hall outside. Beside the door, I aim my pistol where the first man will come in. None does. Freckles looks at me after.
How did you know?
I heard them, I lie. She's about to answer when I nod to the room. It's someone's quarters. Across from a rumpled bed lies a mound of gold sigils nearly half a metre high. I approach and see several carved figures sitting on a shelf, almost as if the sigils are an offering for them. A sacrifice. A military jacket hangs from a chair set in front of a table with organised rows of weapon parts and maintenance kits. The glass floor is covered with rugs. I lift one and see the township through the glass. This must have been the room of the mine magistrate. Ain't hard to guess who lives here now. I unbutton my pants and take a squat.
What are you doing?
Freckles says, wide-eyed. Had to piss. Seems like the best place. Look for a map. I search the room with Freckles when I've finished, and we find a paper map taped to the wall above a communications console. I trace our route to the jail cells and then look down at the comms equipment. It's all alien to me. I fiddle with the buttons, but only get bursts of static and the internal comms of the Red Hand. I stop on one when I hear a man shouting, "She got Duran! They're coming! They're..." Something cuts the signal short. I hammer at a few more buttons.
"Do you know what you're doing?"
Freckles asks. "What does it look like?"
"Well, what are you trying to do?"
"I'm trying to get a signal out."
"Me pa was the radio signal operator in me camp. Let me try."
She edges me out of the chair. I breathe over her shoulder, watching her work.
"It might take a second." "We don't have a second."
She shrugs and goes back to working. Unable to just wait, I scour Harmony's room for anything we can use. I find two razors in a box and a heavy breastplate of a gold pulse armour sitting on a rack at the foot of the bed. I can't tell if the battery works or not. I try to concentrate to get some help from the parasite, but it is dormant. Freckles gives a little cheer and motions me over.
"It's only a broad transmission. I don't know how to call anyone, or if this thing even can."
"How far will it go?" I ask, taking over the chair. She shakes her head. I look back at the microphone. If I broadcast Victra's name, then her enemies will come here, and she seems to have a lot of those. Can this signal even reach Republic territory? They won't beat the Askamani if they're nearby, and may not be able to reach Victra if this is Obsidian territory. So who's left? With a smile, I lean toward the microphone.